On board the G&M Family Market phone line, it's our friend John Alba from ABC7, Fox 22. John, good afternoon.
Rich, I'm a man on a mission right now because after my early exit in your tournament, I realized I've assessed all of the things that I need to fix heading into the year 2017, and I'm ready to do just that.
Well, it begins with bribery, to be honest. So,
Okay. Well, do you like seafood, or are you more of a Oriental cuisine kind of guy?
Oh gosh, well, you know, either one. I do like. Okay. But if I have to pick, something. Look, anything. Let's be honest. Food's good.
Okay. All right.
All food is good. There's no question about that. You had a fine showing. First time. You can't. It's tough to win right out of the box.
I know, but you know what? I was looking to be Barbaro, and instead I ended up just a small step behind. Okay, I'm ready for next time.
That's it. There'll be another year. Absolutely. So what have you been doing? Have you been decompressing after the high school basketball tournament?
You know, Rich, I've got a thing, and it's 24/7, the thunder will roll, and that's pretty much how we operate. And I went down Saturday to Gardner to cover an AAU tournament, the Black Bear North AAU 6th grade girls basketball team. And they were playing two 8th grade teams in Gardner. They ended up beating both of them. And right now they're trying to fundraise so they can afford to play in Nationals in Orlando Memorial Day weekend. And last year they won the state championship, but they couldn't afford to go down there. So this year they wanted to be proactive from the start. And they've been trying to do a bunch of fundraising efforts and whatnot. So I went down there, did a story on them, and that was a way to keep busy in this small little down period. But now pitchers and catchers today. So, yeah, that's good stuff for the spring season.
Yeah, absolutely. Spring season officially underway. As you mentioned, pitchers and catchers able to report. And, you know, we always, this time of year, as a former baseball coach, I always look outside and get a little depressed when I don't see green grass anywhere. but it can turn pretty quickly once you get into late March.
Yeah, Ken, we actually did a story last week. We went down to Mansfield Stadium, and we talked to Ron St. Pierre, who's the field director there, and we asked him, what do you guys do when there's all this snow? And he said, we're ready. We're not really too concerned. The moment that snow's gone, they get out there and they get things together. So I think that's pretty much the way that a lot of things go here in Maine. They're pretty much prepared. The moment there's any kind of melting, they're ready to hop on top and get things in order.
Well, we like the sound of that. Now, I know also, like so many of us, you've been caught up in watching the NCAA basketball tournament, but you and I were chatting online a bit yesterday, and you look at it from a different perspective, and I think it's one that a lot of people ought to at least step back and examine, and that's the idea that there are some great inequities out there.
Oh, yeah, and especially what I was referring to yesterday was regarding the women's end. I was referring to Quinnipiac, who was the number 12 seed in the women's region. That was my alma mater. They had made the NCAA tournament three times in the last 5 years, and they became only the 21st ever 12 seed to win a first-round game. They ended up beating Marquette on Saturday. And there's actually, in the women's end, there's only been three number 12 seeds to ever advance to the Sweet 16, which is incredible because in the men's side, we're so used to seeing that. If you don't pick a 12 seed to advance to the Sweet 16, you're looked down upon in the men's side. But it's crazy how different it is between the men and the women in that regard.
And you look at the women's tournament so far, and boy, you see, just checking out the numbers, some of those ridiculously lopsided games, what UConn did to Albany, and then Baylor setting a record with an 89-point win.
Yeah, and that's just because in the women's game, there aren't any one-and-dones. I'd say 98% of the time, you're graduating pretty much your entire team. So you don't get that inequity that we get in the men's game where you get a team like Kentucky who will rattle in, rattle out players over the years. And one year they're the best team in the country, and then the next year they're a four seed because so many of those guys have left and they need a year to reload. So you don't get that in the women's game. So when you do get an impactful win like a 12 over a 5, or even last year Albany did it, after beating Maine, they ended up knocking off Florida, I believe it was, and they made a run. It's a pretty big deal on the women's side.
On the men's side of things, some big names are long gone. And again, if you had Purdue, Xavier, South Carolina in your Sweet 16, I tip my cap to you, sir.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
You think the people organizing the tournament and the NCAA was looking forward to that, huh? I mean, that's not exactly the draw for the world's most famous arena that they were probably hoping for, but it's exciting. I mean, it leaves open-ended a really cool storyline for one of those teams who's going to end up making it pretty far in this tournament. And that's good. That's good for the sport. Is it good for the conferences? Is it good for the ACC? No, not in the slightest bit. It's good for the ACC. You know, is it good for these power conferences? No, but this is 2017. You know, this is the year that the SEC became a basketball conference. So, hey, you pay with it. You work with it. It is what it is.
Exactly. On the local scene, of course, we wrapped up the women's basketball season for Maine a week ago, but we haven't talked to you since then. You really have to be impressed with the work that Amy Vachon and that women's basketball staff did under tough, tough circumstances this year.
I remember when we heard the news about Richard Barron leaving for taking a medical leave. The team mentally was not in a great state. And I remember my first interview with Amy at that point, and you could tell that there was a lot of, I don't want to say damage control, because damage control is not the right word, but she had a lot of work to do in getting them mentally in the right state of mind to move forward and to compete. And this team had just come off really tough road loss to Vermont, in which they made a late run riding Lias Ole, and it didn't work out, and they had to rebound. And their second half of the season was really, really, really impressive. And you know, everyone was talking about, okay, well, they're going to have to get through New Hampshire in this tournament if they want to make a deep run. And Matt Randall and I kept saying ourselves, you know what, this team has played New Hampshire very well both times this year. They could very well do that. And Amy got their confidence right up to the point where they knew that they could and they knew that they would beat them. And they did. And that was an impressive New Hampshire team featuring a player in Brittany Lai who came from Marist, those great Brian George's teams that dominated the MAC for so many years. That was no tomfoolery there. That was a great win for that Maine Black Bears program. And though they did come up empty-handed in the end, I thought that was a pretty incredible second half of the season for them.
And now we're on to the spring sports season for the Maine Black Bear teams, and both baseball and softball back from lengthy trips. And Mike Coots and the softball Bears, after their experience in the NCAAs last year, they really wanted to challenge themselves, and they certainly did that with an aggressive spring schedule.
Yeah, I spoke with Mike about this last week, and he even said to me, he admitted that they underestimated just how tough this schedule would end up being for them. They were not anticipating it to be this hard. And then they lost Felicia Lennon. We reported last week she'd be out for 4 to 6 weeks, which that's your senior captain. That's a huge blow. Defensively, it's a huge blow. From a morale standpoint, it's a huge blow. She's got a good bat. But what it did allow for softball to do is move Alyssa Derrick into that shortstop role, because she was playing third base last year for them, had an incredible season, one of the best rookies in all the American East Conference last year. She ended up moving to that shortstop role this season, which kind of kick-started something they had as a long-term plan. So, you know, you roll with the punches, if you will, and it was something that now Maine gets to work on this project a little earlier than it thought. So there is something positive that does come out of an unfortunate circumstance.
And for Maine baseball and Coach Nick Durba, they got weathered out, if you will, of their weekend games down at UMBC that was supposed to open the conference schedule. Always a hit or miss when you're scheduling conference games in mid-March. Now they get ready for a non-conference showdown this weekend at St. John's. But certainly some high hopes for this baseball team, and a lot of that based on some good young arms from guys from Maine.
Good young arms, good bats. I mean, this team was so excited about the youth that it brought back into this year. Obviously, Nick Silva, Alex Rodriguez's nephew on that team, has impressed, has shown a lot of poise in some very high-pressure situations for young guns. Danny Casals is one of the best third basemen in the entire conference and has shown of lately, especially in that first Miami game, he's got a little pop to his bat, too. They're going to be a fun team to watch, especially over the next two seasons. And you know, they played a really tough road schedule to start the year. They were happy to come back and rest in Maine and practice in Maine for the weekend with the UMBC series getting canceled. But, man, they're going to be a fun team to watch, and I really have high expectations for them over the course of the next two seasons.
John Alba, ABC 7, Fox 22. John, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us here this afternoon, and we will catch up with you again before too long.
Likewise, Rich. Have a good one.